August the 19th was a Thursday, and that morning I started feeling feverish. I knew something wasn't exactly right. I could just tell, you know, thankfully I've been blessed with good health by the Lord. And so around lunchtime I checked it, and it was 100 or 100.1, whatever it was. So I called my doctor, and they said, well, you can't come in, but we have an opening for a televisit that afternoon. So I waited until that time, and then I called. Well, they sent the link, and I checked my temperature again before the appointment, and it was 100.5. So he asked, you know, went through a series of questions and so forth, and because I had that nasally kind of a, like the congestion up here in my nose, and felt like I had just some drainage, a little bit of cough, not constant. And so anyway, he wanted me to get COVID tested. And he said, you know, take a couple of Tylenol for the fever. And so I, you know, did that, and I couldn't line up a test until Saturday afternoon. This was Thursday. So I lined up a test on the 21st, that Saturday, and then I didn't get the results till midday Monday. But I had to stay quarantined, you know, the whole time. And that Thursday night, about 1 o'clock in the morning, I felt feverish. I woke up. I could tell it in my body. So I took a couple more Tylenol, and then that next morning I went down. I felt a little bit better, and went down to the office. I get up early, and there's a little room I use in the house for the office, and I grabbed a guitar, and I started to sing, just started to play a little bit. Am I still on? And I was singing, "Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer." And I was like, I'm telling you, that literally happened. I started coughing before I got the words, "Our God is healer," out. But I wasn't singing the words because I felt 100% fine. I was singing the words because I believe they're true. And I wanted to confess that truth. And I got to thinking about the phrase, "Our God is greater." Just think, that's true. Whatever you're comparing, whatever situation, whatever circumstance, if I'm alive till the Lord returns, that's great. But one day, if not, you can stand, or somebody can, over my grave and say, "Our God is greater, our God is stronger, God, you are higher than any other, our God is healer, awesome in power, our God." If you were here, the last two Sundays where I share the word, I shared a couple messages on some contemporary topics that we were facing. And God willing, I'll share one more next week. But through the course of this week, I really sensed the Lord was giving me something else to share today. So I want to share that with you. And just simply this: the Lord is healer. The Lord is healer. And I thought about even calling the message, "Our God is greater," and so forth, and certainly He is, that's true, but I wanted it to be specific. I wanted to share today what the Word of God says about the Lord and about healing, and what He heals and how, and the basis for healing. So the Lord is healer, and before we read these verses in Isaiah 53, let me give you the scripture reference that where the name comes from. It's found in Exodus 15:26. We can put it on the screen. Exodus 15:26 said, "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in His sight, give ear to His commandments and keep all His statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I brought on the Egyptians. And then here's the phrase, "For I am the Lord who heals you." I am the Lord who heals you. The Hebrew word for heal, there is rapha, and it means to cure, heal, mend, repair. So it's to cure. It means to mend, to heal and repair. Jesus is called the great physician. And the phrase, the Lord who heals you, is rophika. But the word heals, again, to cure, to heal, to repair, to mend. And the Lord is healer. See, his name reveals his nature. And that's why he's revealed by different names throughout Scripture, especially there in the Old Testament. And you notice the phrase here, if you look at that verse 26, it says, I am the Lord. It's all capital letters. In the King James and New King James, that's the phrase where he told Moses, when Moses asked, what's your name? And he said, tell them I am that I am. Tell them I am has sent you. That's his like covenant name, the name that he has for people he's in relationship with. And he says, I am the Lord who heals you. The Lord is healer. It's not just what he does, it's who he is. And that's why throughout the scripture there are other names. You know, we might traditionally say Jehovah Jireh. It's probably more like Yahweh Yireh. There's no J in the Hebrew language. But however it may be pronounced, he's the Lord our provider. He's the Lord our healer. He's the Lord our victory. He's the Lord our peace. He's the Lord our shepherd. He's the Lord our righteousness. He's the Lord who is with us. It's who he is, not just what he does. The Lord is healer. Would you say that with me? The Lord is healer. And then I want to just give you these. He's the healer of spirit, soul, and body. And let me join you there in Isaiah 53. Isaiah chapter 53, beginning in verse 3. The Bible says this. Isaiah 53, 3. He is despised and rejected by men. This is a prophecy of one who's called in verse 1, the arm of the Lord. It's like the divine servant. And it says, he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. Some believe that's a reference to when he was beaten, that he didn't even look human. He was the sight of him was, in fact, it's prophesied toward the end of chapter 52 that his appearance would be so marred he would not look human and that you would almost want to turn your face away from him. But we hid our faces. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Verse 4, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. By his stripes we are healed. Now, the primary healing here is salvation. It's the healing of our spirit, because the Bible teaches that we are separated from God by sin. We are in a state of spiritual death, separated from God because God is sinless and holy. We have all sinned and broken God's law, and there is an eternal gap between us that no human can ever bridge to get to God. But thank God that even though he is holy, he is also love. And he loved us so much, he didn't want to abandon us in our sin. And so what he did was he sent this one who would come, who would bear our iniquities and bear our sins and all of our transgressions in his own body on the cross. When Jesus suffered and died on the cross, he was paying for our sins. He suffered the judgment and wrath of God so that the wrath of God was completely satisfied against all of our sin. And now we can believe on Jesus as Lord and be justified and forgiven of all and declared righteous by that holy God. That's the good news. Thank God. So it says he took upon himself our judgment and our punishment when Jesus was on the cross. But of course, thank God, he conquered death, came back to life, and is seated by his Father in heaven, and he paid the ransom. We were in bondage, and Jesus paid the ransom to free us from sin and death and bring us into right relationship with God. And salvation is the ultimate healing. Let me look again at verse 6, or read verse 6. He says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And I wanted to read verse 11 also of Isaiah 53. I want to read it from the ESV translation. It'll be on the screen, I believe. It says, out of the anguish of his soul. Please think about that a moment. the physical torture that Jesus endured was brutal, but we can't even fathom what he went through on the inside as his soul became an offering for sin. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. The Father was satisfied with the sacrifice of his Son. And he said, by his knowledge shall the righteous one, there's only one righteous, shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Thank God for what Jesus did for us. He is the healer of spirit. And we come to that place of repentance from unbelief, and we believe on Jesus as Lord with our heart. Our spirit is resurrected. We experience new life, and our spirit is healed in Christ. Peter says the same thing over in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 24 and 25. I'll read them to you. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 24 and 25. And the Bible says this. He refers back to a similar passage there to Isaiah when he says that Jesus himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that you, having died to sins, or that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. So we've been healed of sin, healed of iniquity. Verse 25, for you are like sheep going astray, and have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your soul. See the similar language there of like sheep going astray and what Jesus did for us? So the Lord is the healer of spirit. Salvation, I said, is the ultimate healing, but it's not the only healing because Jesus also heals in soul. And if you want to write this or turn, I'll read you a few verses here in Luke chapter 4. Jesus is coming into a synagogue here on a Sabbath day, and on this particular day, they give him the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and he stands up to read it, and we read these words in Luke chapter 4, beginning in verse 17. Luke 4, 17, it says, when Jesus was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel, the good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Please think about that a second. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. That word brokenhearted can actually even mean bruised or dashed in pieces. If you've ever felt like your heart was just broken or you were hurting, you felt, you know, sometimes we can go through a situation in life where you feel such pressure and from maybe you don't feel good physically, and maybe there's pressure from, it could be work or school or situations, you have responsibilities, financial pressure, and you can feel like your chest is just in a vice and somebody's clamping down on it. Jesus, he says as he reads this scripture, came to heal the brokenhearted. And then he goes on and he says, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So not only does the Lord heal spirits, he heals soul. See, the soul is made up of our emotions and our mind and our will. And sometimes, you know, we can be forgiven of all of our sin, but yet we can be wounded on the inside, wounded within. And brothers and sisters, these wounds affect really every area of our lives. These wounds affect our relationship with others. These wounds affect our school performance. Wounds affect our job performance, affect our ministry. These wounds can affect how we handle money and can affect our physical health, because the scripture talks about how a merry heart can do good like medicine. But who can bear a broken spirit from the hurting on the inside? It can affect our health either positively or negatively, depending on our state. Some wounds come from others, and some are self-inflicted. But either way, the Lord is healer. Would you say that with me? The Lord is healer, and he knows and he cares. And the Lord invites us to come to him. So I would just say this. Come to Jesus in faith. is not for a quick drive-by healing. We've got to be real with the Lord. Come to Jesus in faith and just pour out your heart to him. Tell him everything, every detail, every fear, every insecurity, everything that you is bothering you on the inside, every hurt, and then bring it before him and then trust him for grace and believe and confess his healing and receive his healing touch. See, it's getting close to the Lord and staying close to him. When we stay in close fellowship with the Lord, his wellness heals our woundedness. When we stay in close fellowship with the Lord, his wellness heals our woundedness. The wounds are there. Let's be honest. We don't, you know, deny or stick our head in the sand. I mentioned earlier about Kim calling on Friday morning. And I went through that season of, as it turned out, I was positive with COVID. And thankfully, I had a mild case. But just because I had to be in isolation so long, and then even the way the Labor Day weekend holiday fell, it was an extended version. But I remember one night, I woke up about, I don't even remember, maybe 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, and I just felt, I felt like I was having a panic attack, and I was kind of battling depression a little bit because even I could go outside, but I couldn't get around people. You know, I couldn't be around anyone. And that isolation, I think I was just kind of feeling it. And I had to check because you get short breath. And I had to make sure I was getting a good deep breath because the doctor told me, if you have any trouble breathing, you need to get to the emergency room. But I was able to take a good deep breath, and I really just tried to focus on the Lord and confess the scripture and just try to settle myself down. And then, you know, thank God, you know, I was able to get back to sleep eventually. And then on Friday morning after Kim called, I felt like I said, I got adrenaline, I need to walk off. So I went around and was just walking around, just praying. And I saw just before the Lord, I came before him and I just told him everything, every fear, everything that was potentially that I could think of, I just laid it out to the Lord in prayer. And there's something about that. God doesn't want us to cover it up. Brothers and sisters, I've learned that the Lord will heal what we reveal. We have to be willing to just lay it out before him and trust him for that grace. So the Lord is healer of spirit, soul, and body. And let me read you these couple verses from Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. It's a blessing to be healed on the inside, to experience that healing in our emotions. And I know most of the time that's a process, but we can be in the process and allow his healing grace to minister that to us. But I want you to see that what Jesus did on the cross not only heals our spirit and heal our heart, but his perfect work and sacrifice covered it all. He also heals bodies. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 8, verses 16 and 17, it says that when evening had come, they brought to him, Jesus, many who were demon-possessed or demonized, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. Now, please notice this, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Now, when we read it in Isaiah, it says he bore our griefs and carried his sorrows, but that those Hebrew words mean all. It means not only our griefs and sorrows, it means sicknesses, diseases, and afflictions, and wounds. So what Jesus did covered it all. This was not a misprint. It says he covered those transgressions, sorrows, so forth, there in Isaiah. But he's letting us know by the word of God, I'm not making this up, that what Jesus did, he also bore. Think about that. He bore our sicknesses and diseases on the cross when he suffered and died. And so thank God that he did that for us. And someone might say, yeah, but Brother Rocky, this person, you know, is a Christian, they were confessing and believing and they died. I know. Our bodies are subject to weakness and they will eventually pass. So here's the real issue. Do you know the Lord? Because if you know the Lord, then even when that appointment comes, we've got a new body coming that's like his glorious body. And it will never again experience any kind of sickness, sorrow, suffering, or death because Jesus paid for it at the cross. But thank God we can experience, we have a basis for physical healing too, right here in these bodies. Now, if we're not, in fact, I want to say this, I'm glad I don't want to condemn anyone who is bad. I just told you, I've been sick. I'm condemning no one who's sick, no one who's hurting, or anything along that line. I'm just simply saying that we do have a basis that we can be healed. Jesus loves you. He knows. He cares. No condemnation. I would just say this. Let's just simply do our part, and then let's trust God with the results and the timing. Let's do our part, and then let's trust God with the results and the timing. God brought me to two opportunities this past week where I did that. One was where, for my own quarantine, I came to the point where I just said, Lord, I'll trust you, and when you give the okay, that'll be fine. But it took me a while to get there because I was ready to come off. And then the same thing I did this week with Kim, I said, I want to trust the Lord with the time that she comes home. And whenever that is, let it be your appointment. Because she stayed in the emergency room for 2 days before they even found a room, before a bed opened up. And so I was praying, Lord, give her a bed, give her a bed. And then I prayed, Lord, may it be the bed you want her in and the people there. And she told me this, from the emergency room all the way to the time I picked her up at the door, she said the people were such a blessing. Thank God for those who serve in that particular way. So I put in a little plug for the medical community because you know they're pressured and so forth and maybe even short staffed, but thank God for them. So let's just trust God's love and his wisdom when it comes to the results. And then I want to close with this. Just three steps I believe we can take that are our part in receiving the healing that the Lord has provided. And again, I really want to relate this to the physical, and then we'll share the communion together. But James chapter 5, if you have your Bible, if you'd like to turn there with me, James chapter 5, just a few more scripture references, but three steps that I believe we can take for what our part is in receiving physical healing. The Bible says this, James chapter 5, beginning in verse 14. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. I believe the first step in receiving healing is to believe God's word. That's why I wanted to, I'm not trying to overload you here, brothers and sisters. I'm just trying to give you the word of God as a basis so you know that there is a reason why we believe God for healing. So the believe God's word, believe the revelation that God has given us about himself. Believe the inspired scripture that God has given about his will for us and our will, lives in his will. And it says here about calling the elders of the church. I don't believe that has to necessarily be limited to someone who is ordained as an elder. For example, if one of the children were, you know, back in the kids' church, and let's say someone had, you know, twisted their ankle a little bit that past week, but they were, you know, okay, maybe they had their foot in a little boot or something, and they came and those who are ministering to the children, you know, prayed for them. I wouldn't say, oh, well, that's not discounted. It wasn't the elder. So believers could certainly pray for one another, but there is a place where we can come to the church leadership to be receive prayer, and the anointing with oil, notice, in the name of the Lord. It's not just the oil. The oil can picture the presence of God's Holy Spirit, but it also pictures a setting apart for God. That's why the oil was used many times throughout Scripture. And the name of the Lord, remember, the Lord is healer. The name of the Lord represents his authority and his power. So when someone comes and we anoint with oil in the name of the Lord, we're anointing them in the according to the word of God who has given us this commandment, and we're coming through his authority and through his ability to raise the dead even. So that's why we come. So we believe the word of God, and then secondly, right along, in fact, I want to, Brother Gary shared it earlier, about confessing God's word, speaking God's word, speaking to our spirit. I sent Kim, when I couldn't get in there, just typed out Psalms 103, verses 1 through 5. I printed them in the ISV version, and someone, you know, was able to drop it off at the hospital for me. And I told her, read those verses, confess them every day. Read, you know, confess God's word in that scripture over healing. So believe God's word. And then second, he says in James chapter 5, verse 16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. So notice there is, yes, the church prays, but then confess your trespasses to one another, pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The second step is to remove all hindrances. Remove any hindrances. So believe God's word, and then the evidence of faith is what? Obedience is doing God's word. So remove all hindrances, because unrepentant sin will block and hinder our fellowship with the Lord, even if we're a Christian. And remember, the Lord is healer. The Lord is healer. So I can't really have full fellowship with my healer if I'm allowing sin on my side to get between us. And if you're not sure, I've been in situations before where I just said, Lord, if there is anything in my heart, anything in my life, I don't want something between my heart and yours. Show me, Lord. And you know, even the psalmist prayed. He said, search me and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, my anxieties, and see if there's any offensive tendency in me, and lead me in the eternal way. Lord, show me. And if I'm holding on to some unforgiveness or bitterness or just whatever it may be, that I would just bring it to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm going to release this. I'm going to trust you. I don't want anything to hinder, first of all, my fellowship with you. And I don't want anything to hinder your healing in my body, healing in my heart, healing in my memories, healing in my mind, whatever the case may be. So remove all hindrances. And it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another. Brothers and sisters, it's important to build godly relationships with godly people. I'm talking about people with whom we can be real. Someone, maybe one or two people that you can be close enough to say, I'm really struggling here. I've been battling depression. I've been hurting. I don't know what, you know, and just be real. You don't have to elaborate to everyone in the world, but that closeness, I'm telling you, it can be therapeutic. And it can open the door for healing in our physical bodies. And then finally, live a healthy lifestyle. Believe God's word, remove all hindrances, and then live a healthy lifestyle. And these verses in Galatians 6 through 8 talk about sowing to the flesh and sowing to the spirit. We all know that planting and harvesting, what we call sowing and reaping, are laws of life. There's no getting around. There's no escaping the truth of planting and reaping, sowing, reaping, planting, and harvesting. And that can apply to our physical bodies as well. I'm not saying that just live any way you want, damage your body, you know, do all the things you want to do, but claim your healing in Jesus' name. I'm saying, no, God has given us our bodies. You know, if we know the Lord, our bodies is temple. I'm just simply saying, let's honor God with our temple and just do our part. I believe we can keep it simple. And the Bible says, 6, 8, and 9 there, Galatians, verse 9 says, let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we'll reap. And if we plant the right things, we can eventually reap the good benefits. All of our bodies need proper nutrition, proper activity, and proper rest. Those three. And however that may come out with each individual, if you're not sure, ask your doctor, please. I mean, we want to trust God and do our part. But when, because God designed our bodies remarkably. The scripture says we are remarkably and wonderfully made by God. And our bodies will heal themselves, probably in most cases, in many cases. But when they don't, go to your doctor and be wise. But proper nutrition, proper activity, God designed us to move. And I know many people work. I'm in the office a lot myself. I get it. And you can be tired, wore out, and you don't feel like doing something. But if you can kind of plant that seed of maybe going out on a walk or doing something, it actually can help energize you. And it can help relieve some adrenaline or some just some of the buildup. It's like emotional and mental release. So proper nutrition, activity, and then our bodies also need rest. So if we do those three things, we're doing our part. And again, we trust God with what we can't do and just be good keepers of God's temple, our bodies, and trust God for grace. I've been reading a little bit. I was reading how right there in Luke, actually, where he went into the synagogue just a little bit later, the Bible says when he went to Peter's house after a synagogue visit, and Peter's mother-in-law was laying in the house sick. She had a fever. And Jesus said he stood over her and he rebuked that fever and healed her. And she stood up. And you know what she did? She served them. And see, God heals us for a purpose. God wants us to use our bodies and our health and our strength in loving worship and service to him, just like he lovingly gave himself for us. You think, why did Jesus do all that for us? He did it out of love. He did it out of love. And he cares about every area of our lives, spirit, soul, and body. And I believe the Lord is healer. And I want to close with just these verses that I'd printed off to give to Kim if you want to write them down. It's Psalms 103, verses 1 and 5. And then we'll just have a sing of chorus and then share communion together. It says this, Psalms 103, verses 1 through 5. Bless the Lord, my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, my soul, and never forget any of his benefits. He continues to forgive all your sins. He continues to heal all your diseases. He continues to redeem your life from the pit. And he continuously surrounds you with gracious love and compassion. He keeps satisfying you with good things. And he keeps renewing your youth like the eagles. The Lord is healer. Would you say that with me? The Lord is healer. Let's believe and let's just trust him. Would you stand as we close in prayer?